and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
I still taste that hamburger.
And that was Douglas.
It was mean. Oh man, those burgers are huge and meaty.
The Windows 7 burger, you went to Japan?
Speaking of Windows 7, I'm getting that tomorrow, I think.
Windows 7.
Alright. I need to see the competition.
All right,
you know me. All right. I am the person that pushed you to get Linux,
listen
right?
Me,
it's not that
me.
I'm not a Linux all right. man.
Alright, let me be clear. The reason I hate Windows 7 right now is because it won't let me play Forever properly.
Why not?
Alright. So
yeah,
I have the second fastest consumer processor.
Yeah, okay.
And I still can't run the game. I have to run it in some shitty window. I hate Microsoft so much. I still can't fix it. I don't know. But Linux is fantastic. And I saw something on the Oh My God Ubuntu blog where you can do the dragging the hourglass thing, where you drag it off screen and get it to size the windows in both halves. Because you can do that.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
so
is that really... I mean, I know there are certain things, for example, in Linux that I didn't realize would be cool, like the expose and all sorts of stuff. But is that actually of any worth, that whole resize the window to a half
of
the screen?
Yeah, because you always have more than one window.
Yeah.
And it's nice for it to just auto... Because you always, even if you don't actively try to get it half enough, you always try to get two windows on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of nice that it does it for you. You just drag one to one side, drag one to the other side. And it perfectly lines them up. Nice? It's nice. But the problem with all the hourglass stuff is, it's kind of slow.
Yeah.
I mean, in Linux, you have the show all active windows thing where you can set it to a mouse gesture. And being that quick, and you have the edges thing where you just drag it, it's just faster.
Anyways,
maybe we should stop talking about tech.
An announcement for the show. We mentioned a couple weeks ago that we were going to do the poll thing for the fourth review of the week. I'm going to put this up on the site tonight so you guys can vote. And we've decided on the films. Damien has decided on Billy Wilder's The Apartment.
Yay.
Douglas has decided on David Lynch's Eraserhead.
That's a movie with Schwarzenegger, right? Eraser. No.
And I've decided Lemon Tree, which apparently is this really good movie that I want to watch. And the funny thing about it, you see, is that as I was looking at the emails with all of these movies in there and who sent the email, we spoke about how we choose the movies that we choose, and it's very indicative of what we said that day. Damon has chosen an old classic. Douglas has chosen something from, you know, in between the classic era and now, and it's something of a cult slash everyone loves David Lynch kind of thing that's just weird and odd.
And you've chosen
and I've decided
that movie.
Something that's new and out there. Lemon Tree, which probably no one knows about, but, you know, whatever. Anyways, yeah.
So, I'm going to not vote for Douglas.
You guys are not allowed to vote. No voting. One other thing I wanted to put in. The music in the top of the show is this new intro music that Damien sent me this week. Let us know what you think about it.
So, clearly we're going to talk about what we watched this week. Andrew, what did you watch this week?
This week, for the first time, I sat down and I watched Band of Brothers, the HBO miniseries about Easy Company of the paratroopers during World War II, who were basically on the front line for the entire of the war.
Yes, what were you watching again? You said Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers, which is a really awesome show. Like, here's the thing, right? I had a problem with it going for a really long time. It's 10 episodes, and what you can tell watching it, like, unlike all the other war films that we watch, especially the American-based ones, you kind of feel a lot of the time that they're playing a little with the facts. Like, yes, there was a war. Yes, America participated. Yes, Germany lost in the end. But all the little stuff in between, you always feel like, oh, they might have exaggerated that a little bit to help make America look more awesome. But before every episode, you have interviews with all the people who are actually in the war and stuff, and real names, real stories. Like, you'd see an episode in which something happens, and then the next episode you hear an interview with the guy saying that happened. So you kind of feel a sense of honesty to it, which is really good. I did feel watching it for a really long time, just like Saving Private Ryan, that the action, like, sometimes I feel watching these movies like I shouldn't be enjoying the action as much as I do, because, I mean, this is real, basically.
It's Call of Duty stuff.
You know, but, I mean, everything went crazy when in episode 9, 9 and 10 are, I think, the only episodes out of all of them in which there is no battle scenes. 9th episode, when they finally come up against a POW camp, not a POW camp, a concentration camp, and you see them see all of these people and what they have to do at that point. And I don't want to spoil it for those people out there who haven't seen the show, but it's a really good show, and I recommend it to a lot of people, especially those who love to watch World War.
That's films. A different story than what you told me before.
I told you exactly what I said, just in such a wordy way.
No, you know what you told me before? It sucked until episode 10. That's what you told me before.
Alright.
That's like, only really.
Did you actually see that?
Kind of. Like, I was thinking along the lines of me enjoying the action and feeling odd for how the filmmakers displayed it. I didn't want to say all of those words, so I just said it sucked. Like, have you ever seen someone sit down and watch Saving Private Ryan and just watch?
Didn't sound like what he said a while ago.
not at all.
Whoa.
I don't know. He got from there to suck.
Yeah, anyway, I'm assuming you did watch something else.
I didn't really watch anything new, but I got some new Blu-rays this week, and I sat down and I watched Nightmare Before Christmas on Blu-ray.
Blu-rays. Have you seen my comments on your Blu-ray article?
On my DVD article?
Yes.
I saw something and I wanted to say what the hell to it, but what are you talking about?
So, you're recommending all of these movies, whether to, you know, rent it, buy it, watch it. Mm-hmm. How many of those movies have you watched?
Around 80% of them.
There are at least two movies.
There was Logan's Run.
Yeah.
There was Ballast.
Yeah.
And I think an Ink, which I hadn't seen, but
three of those, and you put them all in like rent, and you're like, oh, these are awesome movies. Rent them.
I said these are awesome. These are awesome looking movies. Like, I'm interested, which is why I would rent them, and I'd put them out to you if you're that kind of person. So I don't know what the complaint was. Doesn't that sound like a decent thing to say?
I'm not taking Douglas to say.
Yes, Andrew wins by default.
Andrew, if you heard the wording right, he didn't take your side either. There's only one reason why he hasn't taken my side enough. And we'll hear about that later. So yes.
But I mean, Douglas, doesn't that sound like a... It does, like, I should just ignore the films.
No, you should only mention in rent and buy sections movies that you've actually seen, because we've seen a lot of movies that are critically acclaimed, and we watch them and hate them, and you wouldn't ask anyone on earth to buy that movie or rent that movie.
And all of the ones that are in the buy section I've watched.
Right. So you should keep with that trend. If you haven't seen the movie, then just say, or I have a special section for movies you haven't seen but are interested in.
Maybe. Maybe next week Douglas will make fun of me again.
Maybe.
What was I saying? Oh, new Blu-rays I got. I was watching Nightmare Before Christmas, which, my God, is an awesome movie. I love that movie. I found out that the guy who sings the songs is Danny Elfman. I never knew he was an actual singer. I only knew him as a composer. For scores, which
you
is
know,
just...
You know what else he is?
What?
The man that got kicked off of Wolfman.
Oh yeah, I saw that just a few seconds ago. Wow. He was scoring Wolfman and they kicked him out.
They kicked him off, and there are two stories. There's one that says, you know, it was timing difficulties, and there's another that says he made 4 or 5 edits and they hated all of them, so they kicked him out. I'm not sure which one is true, but to tell you the truth, I'm more leaning towards he made 4 or 5 edits. So yes, you've got Nightmare Before Christmas. What else have you seen this week?
I also rewatched The Orphanage, which I got on Blu-ray.
Good movie.
Awesome movie. Even though, like, when you, like, rewatching it, I realized that I would have preferred for it to have ended at the Peter Pan moment, which is what I call it, when what has happened, and then the end you see the husband for a second, and that's, I really didn't need that part at the end.
No.
Like, I thought it would have been better if they'd ended that, as I call it, the Peter Pan moment. Yeah, and that's all I really watched this week.
So Douglas.
Me? All right. Well, I'm actually equally as short. I only watched 3 things of note this week. I watched Beetlejuice, which, you know, like Andrew, I just bought that on Blu-ray. Really good movie. If you haven't seen it before, watch it. It's Michael Keaton and Tim Burton hooking up with the great Alec Baldwin.
Michael Keaton.
People realize that he wasn't that good. I don't know.
I think actually, he was one of good.
He is good. It's just that he's like he made some bad decisions. Must be. Oh, you know what it was? He was in Jackie Brown. That makes sense.
Stop it.
I think he was one of those few people who decided to leave. Who decided to give up.
What? Give up? If you call Jack Frost giving up, then sure. Is that name of the movie?
Yes.
Did you see that?
After that. Let me look at
what
this.
What about Duplicity?
He wasn't in Duplicity.
Oh no, it was... What was it called? Multiplicity.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's look at Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Give up.
Oh, he's in Toy Story 3.
Yeah, what else is he in?
He's in Postgrad.
Yeah,
Herbie Fully Kirby.
Yeah, yeah. He's, I don't know.
He's one of those, he's like Morgan Fairchild. Then again, was Morgan Fairchild ever in anything good?
No, but Michael Keaton used to be like supreme A-list.
Yeah, he was.
Batman.
He was big. And then...
He just fell.
And then, no.
I guess that was that's actually what happens to most actors and musicians. They peak very quickly, or, you know, not necessarily quickly, but they peak for a while and then they fall. It's only the very few that stay up there. So I guess he just had his time, and it's not his time anymore.
Time is over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
it was fun while it lasted.
Right. Exactly. It was, and I wouldn't mind seeing him in something cool. Like you say, he's going to be in Toy Story, which isn't quite the same, but, you know, we could still enjoy the voice of Michael Keaton.
He's going to be Ken.
Ah.
Street Fighter?
No,
Barbie.
Ken.
Oh, Barbie Ken.
Okay, so I also watched Whippet this week, which is, as you guys know, the new movie by Drew Barrymore. Miss Ellen Page is in it, Eve is in it. A few, you know, the third Wilson brother is in it.
Michael Hargreaves.
Come on, you have to think of the third.
I know the third way.
Anyways, what are you saying?
Okay, so this movie, funnily enough, I've seen a lot of bad reviews for it, but I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was fairly average. I would have given it maybe a 5.5 or a 6. It was okay to watch. I'd watch it again. It was a fun ride, all in all. And the last thing that I saw that Andrew just adores this film, is Observe and Report. And ditto, by the way, Damien.
No.
You just, you know, scoffed.
No. I was laughing, but it was for something else.
Okay.
I saw Paul Blart. I saw it going on TV while my mother was watching it. All I heard was... I was asking some new recruit, so how did he get into the security business? And he's like, as a float out of high school, how do you think? I'm like, oh, so it's not all garbage. And then, like, right after that, there was some terrible scene, and I went, oh, I have other things to do, and I just walked.
No, yeah, Observe and Report.
It's a good one.
It tried, but it wasn't that good.
Oh.
Not really.
Oh.
I really like that
I know
movie.
You do. You also like all sorts of things.
I'm okay with that.
But that movie, not so great. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen.
Against Paul Blart, which one would you watch again?
That's not a fair
you don't
fight,
want to
so.
Ask me that question. Because I will answer Paul Blart.
You won't.
Yeah, I think Paul Blart, I would prefer to watch that movie. Paul Blart is awful, but there were points when I was kind of watching it and being like, eh, that's kind of funny. That's okay. Yes, I don't think funny. I ever really got that with Observer and Report. It was just like, I think I'm supposed to be laughing. Roman
trying too hard.
It's supposed to be dark funny, but it's just not either. They tried a bit too hard.
You see, like, watching this movie, it's definitely one of those films in which it's going to get every kind of review. People are going to hate it. People are going to like it. People are not going to know what to think about it. I happen to be one of the few people who like it. You happen to be one of the few people who don't. Maybe Damon will be the indifferent. I don't know. Because you haven't seen it yet.
I have no intention of watching
it. I've learned something about Damien. Damien is never indifferent. He either loves something or he hates it.
There's very few middling movies.
Yes. There is no gray.
Yeah. Either good or
terrible.
Right. Douglas knows. So that's it. Douglas, no TV shows this week? Or
not really, no.
Is the thing still broken, or you got it up and running?
No, it's up and running, but it's a pain in the ass because TVDB is crap. It has only banners for me to get as the thumbs, and I still don't understand
that's happening because it doesn't do that for me.
It's so weird.
Alright, I watched a few movies this week. I don't know why I saw this many movies, but let's. I saw 500 Days of
Skip. You mentioned it last week. Skip, move on.
Movie's still awesome.
One thing I'd like to ask is, was it better this time?
Yeah, because I had listened to the Creative Screen
I still haven't listened to that
episode for that movie. And it said that it shed some more light on the movie. And, I mean, good movies don't get worse the more you see it. I realize that if you really like a movie, the more you see it. The more you like, because you keep finding newer and newer things to point out. Especially near the end, there's a scene where they split the screen and there's expectations versus reality.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love the song in that scene.
The way they do it so that one is a bit further than the other, so you can actually take in everything as opposed to everything going all at the same time. Yeah.
That movie's good stuff. So I saw, prompted by the trailer that we talked about, I went and I saw Broken Embraces with Penelope Cruz. And she's hot. And the movie's okay. It's about a 6. There's nothing special about this movie.
Yeah.
Outside of Penelope Cruz. The story that they tell is kind of silly. And for a movie that is supposedly based in some kind of reality. No, this movie is making. Because it's not like they took some high concept thing. They're telling basically two timelines are going on, and at the end, of course, you come to see where the two of them come together. But I mean, the performances were nice, but there's just nothing special about this movie at all. But it's a good watch. You won't hate yourself after watching it. I saw The Goods. And there's good things about that movie. There's a cameo, especially with, what's the dude's name? Anchorman.
Will Ferrell.
Right. Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell has a cameo in this.
I didn't like that cameo that much.
Perfect. It is genius.
I think the angel scene.
Right. He dies and he comes back with some angels. And, that section, and the DJ guy, I keep blanking on his name. Oh, good lord.
Craig Robinson?
Yes, Craig Robinson.
It would have to be him because he is awesome.
On the whole, like, it's not as bad as Andrew made it out to be. It may be because I love Ari more than most people. I am kind of biased.
I love me some Ari too.
That might be it, but it's definitely watchable, and it has one of the best lines I've heard in movies for a long time.
You're finally an Asian.
I was even Vin Rames, he says at some point in the movie that he's never made love to a woman, right? I mean, he's been with a lot of women, but he's never made love to a woman. And then later on, he's going to make love to someone. And like 5 minutes in, he's like, you know what I just realized about making love? And she's like, no, what? It's boring as hell. Yes. I agree with that sentiment entirely.
Oh, wow.
It is very boring. No one wants that. No one, you leave that to old people.
Okay, it's
fair. I saw Dragon Ball Evolution again, and that movie got exponentially worse.
Did you watch Chun Li after?
No. The children said they wanted to see Dragon Ball, and I made them watch Dragon Ball.
Then why were you there watching it with
them? I'm not
going
to leave them with. Leave them with thousands of dollars of equipment. With children. Yeah, I see that there's something really wrong with you. I saw Pelham, the taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3.
The original or the new one?
I saw the original already. And I finally got a chance to see the new one. The new one is bad. It's really, really bad. And it is really bad because of one actor.
Is it Denzel?
No, it is not Denzel.
Is it Turturro?
Stop. John Travolta is so bad. He's not believable in the slightest bit. Not even a little bit. And he keeps... Like, every time he opens his mouth, I want to turn off the movie.
How about Gandolfini?
Shut up.
Trying to remember other actors in the movie.
He's just... Like, nothing he says resonates with anybody who's ever seen John Travolta before. He's terrible. I don't know who gave him that get-up. And the overall premise for this movie, because they changed what the aim for the
heist
is for this one, and it's so stupid. The movie, it could have been a better movie.
Sorry, it could have been a less bad movie.
No, it could have been a better movie if they made key decisions. One being not hiring Travolta, and the other being what the aim of this heist is. This is why you should. This when people talk about not doing remakes, they should put this one up first. But there is good things that come. I heard some good news that the Will Smith old boy thing has fallen apart.
Yeah.
Thank you, Laurie. Thank you.
You guys and your hateration.
Yeah. Jimmy Carr is this British comedian. He had a new special. Came out a couple weeks ago. It's called Telling Jokes. It's an hour and a half, and if you know Jimmy Carr, then you already know it's funny.
Is it the thing where he explains the idea of a joke, like he just talks about, or is it just a comedy?
No, it's a special. He goes up there and he tells jokes.
Okay, all right. Because I was YouTubing a lot of Jimmy Carr last night.
If you know Jimmy Carr, if you know the name, then you already said you already know what he's in for. I saw Chris Rock's new movie, Good Hair. And it's not so much a movie as it is... this movie is not for women, funny enough. Because women already have all of this information. This movie is for men who had no idea that this is the madness that would go. Women's hair is expensive. And if we're going to take on... You know, mind some of these women. We're going to need to make some more money, because it is not cheap. And the stuff that they do to their hair, like they're importing hair from like India and those places, and like a weave, which is just one base, like a hairstyle basically, can run some women as much as $5,000. And there's cars that don't cost that much money, though. It opened my eyes, definitely. I'm going to find some bald-headed chick. Because I cannot afford it. I'm going to be serious. This is ridiculous.
Because when you look the woman in the face and you say, honey, you can't get it because I need to buy the new TV.
You don't understand. They were talking to some of these women and they're like, they're putting hair on layaway and they're skipping rent payments to pay for hair. And it's not like women that you'd go, oh, these women are clearly stupid women, they don't have a clue. Like, it's people with sense. They look like sensible people.
But how is that any different than a gambling addict?
Stop, first of all.
Because it's
first
here.
First of all, you're incorrect. Anytime you're skipping rent payments for here, you are a stupid person. It don't matter if you, no. It don't matter if society says you're not a stupid person. You are a stupid person. Done.
Douglas, we're in for a lot of... I don't know, this wife thing. It's getting rough and rough.
Separate accounts. Which...
And...
I don't know.
Because I was forced to watch a... special movie that we'll talk about later. I decided to get over my anger by falling back on one of my favorite movies of all time, American Beauty. I sat down and watched that. I was happy and I went to sleep. The movie's still awesome. And anyone who thinks otherwise, don't,
by the
don't
way,
speak,
did you send me that? Did you send me that email?
During watching the movie? Yes, 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 I did. Yes, and that's it. That's all. Awesome. No TV.
It's very interesting.
Oh, so Andrew, what news happened this week? What happened in the movie world?
Before we get to news,
before
serious stuff happened.
I read this article on Cinematical. Well, it's really referring to this video that was from College Humor, in which they've spoofed...
I haven't watched it yet. I really want to. Is it the endings movie?
Yeah.
The show?
Yeah.
I have it, like, queued up in my thing, and I haven't watched it yet.
They spoofed a lot of these films which have ambiguous endings and gave them a definite ending.
Oh.
And I just want to ask about how you feel about films with ambiguous endings. Like, let's say... Oh, let's go to Twitter.
No Country.
No Country for Old Men. Someone said Children of Men. The Wrestler.
What was ambiguous about Children of Men?
Because you don't know if everybody ends up being happy. Essentially, all it is,
it puts you like 5 minutes before the real end.
You know what it is? It's a test of character. It's a test of who you are. If you get this ending and... And you know, you say to yourself, oh, there's a happy ending, you're a glass half full type of person.
And if you go, she's so fucked.
Then you're clearly glass half empty. True. And then there's some people that would say, well, I don't know what happened, but I hoped that they, you know, did well. And it's not that I'm like, quoting any movie that I'm not allowed to talk about on this podcast or anything. No.
Wow.
Well, you worked it as well as you could. And we won't mention this movie.
That's impressive. That is impressive.
But people have also mentioned films like 2001, Cube, Mulholland Drive. Like, I mean,
I really want to watch that movie.
Which one?
Mulholland Drive. Did you know that that's a David Lynch film? And it was supposed to be actually a miniseries for CBS, and then CBS was like, no thank you. So he's like, fine, I'll just make the rest of it. And then it became a movie.
And I still haven't seen that movie, so.
Neither have I.
What about but 12 Monkeys?
That's a really good movie.
I'm going to make a horrible admission.
It has an admission, an ambiguous ending?
I've seen pieces, but I haven't seen the whole movie. Like, I've seen the first, like, 20 minutes when they're in the dead world, and I've seen like the part near the end where you figure out what's happening, and I saw like
an ambiguous ending. It just like shows you that going back in time doesn't affect anything.
People said that Donnie Darko has an ambiguous ending,
yeah,
but it doesn't.
The movie's bad, so no one cares. I know that hurts. I don't like the movie. I don't care what anybody.
So yeah. Anyways, Damien, like.
You bastards.
Movies with ambiguous endings, are they things that put you, turn you off about the film at the end? Like, you've seen 100 minutes of awesomeness, and then you give you 10 minutes where, and then you're like, you could have put on that last 5 to finish it properly, but they gave you this ambiguous ending. Does it put you off at all? Like, I remember when I watched No Country for Old Men for the first time, I wanted to throw something into the television because I was like, what?
Because you're angry. No, not really. I'm usually more annoyed when they drag out the ending a little too long. See Lord of the Rings, see Sympathy for Lady Vengeance, where there's clearly an end point, and then they decide to continue giving us more and more things that no one needed. When it's ambiguous, when they kind of just have the movie end. It depends on the kind of movie it is, and it definitely, if what came before it was awesome enough, it won't matter. Because No Country, when the movie ended, I was just went, oh, alright, that's good enough. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's start this movie again.
No, the ambiguous ending, it's, I understand why a lot of people don't like it, because, you know, it's almost natural to want to feel that sort of...
you want some closure.
Closure, exactly, that's the word I'm looking for. But it's also very cool to have a piece of, you know, like a film where if you went and talked to five different people, you'd get five different, like, almost like theories as to how what happened after, you know? It's like Fight Club. Fight Club is like all sorts of stuff. Like that.
People are talking about The Sopranos in the chat room.
Oh yeah, Sopranos. Come on.
Did you ever watch the whole of it, or did you? Because I know you don't really like it that much.
I stopped watching The Sopranos long, long time ago. I know I should go back to it, but
how much of it did you actually watch?
My first two seasons, and then I've seen enough of this. I don't know. Just the whole mafia thing. Like, it just felt too played out at the time. I don't know what it was that made me feel like that. I don't know what else I was watching that had it. But I know it's good, and I know I should go back to it at some point, but I haven't reached anywhere near the end of it.
Okay. Yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up. So on to the news. And the first item of the news is something that shall make me cry, Damien happy, and I'm not sure how Douglas will be affected.
Maybe
he'll probably
be
in between.
And hoping for the best, you know?
Joss Whedon's Dollhouse has been cancelled.
Okay, wait, okay, so now. Does this mean that Terminator's back?
Good luck getting 13 good episodes now. Dirty mother. Thank you, execs. You made the right decision. That show's garbage.
No, I'm sorry. I held out my hopes for this show, but this season especially, it disappointed me. Episode by episode, I got more and more disappointed.
Also, you know how I feel about the first episode. Damien, after episode 3, you're going to want to stop, but don't. It gets better. And I went, where is the better? Not seeing any better. Then they gave me one good episode at the end and went, see you next year.
One really good episode, okay?
Come back next week. No.
So Damien, I missed this news.
Damien.
Actually, it was just posted like a few hours ago, and the only reason I found out about it was I saw a Twitter update from Schizofskis, I think his screen name is
Schizofrenetic Man.
Scofizzy. And I was yeah, weird name but cool. Like
I don't think that's what we're laughing about. But
and he made a comment about Dollhouse, and I thought, I wasn't sure whether it was actually cancelled or he was making fun of the fact that they're not airing during November. You know, and then I was like, hey, and then he linked me the Variety story where they say officially it's gone.
Oh, Joss Whedon. I still love Firefly and Serenity, and that's it. I don't want to hear anything. And Dr.
Horrible.
Yeah, Dr. Horrible is great.
But Dollhouse was mediocre, son.
No, whatever.
Stop lying to yourself. You know it's bad. Don't let spending money cloud your judgment.
I have 8 Mile on that shelf, and I will agree that our movie is a load of trash.
Right. And you come to us to see that Dollhouse is a load of trash. You got a good episode, so. One? No, seriously, you want me to be sad and be on your side?
No,
a good episode. One?
I'm not. Didn't you see what I said at the beginning of this? You know, I knew you'd be happy.
Yes. Yes, but you said it in a way like I'm wrong to be happy that they're cancelling bad shows.
Anyways.
You need to cancel Heroes now and the circle will be complete.
Next news item that I saw this week, the Yogi Bear film. I don't thought this would be hilarious to talk about. Apparently they're making a live action / animation hybrid movie.
And would you like
with Yogi
cast?
Bear. And the cast is Dan Aykroyd playing Yogi Bear, Justin Timberlake playing Boo Boo, And Anna Faris playing some documentarian in the woods.
No, isn't she playing the
no,
girlfriend bear?
Girl bear?
No, a documentarian in the woods. No, is, girl bear.
Oh, so wait, hold on.
This changes.
Is open. This a half and a half movie?
Yes, it's a hybrid. It's like a Roger Rabbit kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah,
this
no,
sounds.
Keep talking.
This
I have nothing else to say. You know, my mother always told me, if you've got nothing good to say about somebody, don't say anything.
Well, since I never
well,
got that lesson, this
like
sounds horrendous.
Really?
I do like
I think that's
Justin Timberlake. But,
I mean, I think I'd find it hilarious to see like a clip of Dan Aykroyd and Justin Timberlake recording the voices for this movie. But otherwise, I don't know if I'd be interested in anything else. Because I still think Dan Aykroyd is a really funny dude.
He can be funny, but have you seen some of
his
movies?
I know, I know.
Actually, what I should ask you is, have you seen most of his movies?
Do you remember that movie with Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd? It was Trouble, Nothing But Trouble.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
I
was
loved
on,
it at the time.
It was on TV
it
earlier today, and I was watching a bit of it. It's really bad. And John Candy was in it, playing like three different people.
So was Demi Moore. And all of those guys played a lot of people. I know Dan Aykroyd played about three different people. I think he played the twins as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so Yogi Bear?
Yeah, Yogi Bear. Awful concept. Next. Please.
So, Aaron, just out of curiosity, yes, Clue is an awesome movie. Oh, never mind. I just realized what he was referring to. Never mind.
Next, please.
The only other news story I found this week that I was slightly interested in
is that Old Boy is not coming out?
Yes. No. Is
that
Danny Boyle's next film is going to take 127 hours.
Is going to take 127 hours? Isn't he doing this film about
right,
a mountaineer
isn't that
or something?
Name or the movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Apparently, this movie is going to be about the true story of Aaron Ralston, who was this hiker who went up into the woods one weekend and got stuck under a boulder, got his arm stuck under a boulder for 5 days. And then he used a little buck knife to amputate his arm and then run. And then he had to go over a wall or something, and then he found help and got helicoptered out.
Did he ever get his arm back on?
No.
Of course. they went and looked for the rock and said, oh, come.
What?
Oh, it's still there. Oh, of course.
You're talking like you wouldn't be like, listen, I have an arm down there, go get it.
And then the doctor would tell you, how long did it start? 5 days ago? Sorry.
Yeah,
forget about that one.
What he should have done is gone back for the arm.
Push the boulder
say
with his one other arm.
Right, just bring like a grenade launcher and say, you think this is not over yet, you know, son? Warm my arm back.
I guess we're all like, we're all fans of Danny Boyle. He makes good movies.
Yes.
And this sounds like it can be a really cool story. Would you want to see it on film, though? Can you imagine that the chunk of the film, him being under a rock with a knife, looking at the knife, looking at his arm?
Did you not watch Training Day when he was detoxing? Okay.
Did you not watch?
Not Training Day. Jesus, what did I just say? Trainspotting. Sorry.
Wow. I was going to tell you about that. Passion of the Christ. It's just going to be that all over again. Where they just instead of focusing on all the good, they're just going to have like an hour and a half of this youth just wrecking himself and getting out. I don't know, it's Danny Boyle. Hopefully, he knows what he's doing. But,
did you guys read about Cinematon, by the way?
Cinematon? No, I don't know what this is. What's that?
It is officially the world's longest film. You know how long it goes for?
How long?
150 hours.
Oh, I saw the title and I skipped over it. And I'm sure that's all you're reading.
I don't understand. 150 hours, what does it... What?
Apparently, what it is, it's a compilation of... I don't even know how
like
many.
A billion
over
movies.
A thousand small clips. maybe
that's
like
6.25 days.
Yes. So it's a compilation of all these small clips by all sorts of people. Roberto Benigni did
Does
one.
It tell us
Terry
story?
Gilliam did one. No, it's just a bunch of...
Then it's not a movie.
It's a bunch of...
Then I have the longest movie of all time.
But it's and actually playing that? At
what's,
a...
What's 900 times 1.5?
It's called the jail cell.
But I thought that was neat that this guy kind of did it. And apparently most, if not all, of the clips are available on his website. His name, the director, is...
He can't have a director.
Gerard Courant, or Courant. I don't know if he's French. Yeah, he is French, so it's probably Courant. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name.
So someone doesn't know how to pronounce French properly.
Yes, but I tell you, as opposed to saying things and thinking that they're correct.
It's coming out.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
I hear that Will Smith is going to play full retard. He's going to do some...
What you talking
about? The movie that he's doing instead of Old Boy is some movie about some retarded person. And apparently he's going to be in that movie. I don't remember the name of the movie. I don't care. I was too happy to hear that Old Boy is not in it.
As you said for like 5 times already.
I don't think you realize how happy I am that movie is. Look what they did to Pelham. Guess what they did to Old Boy.
I'm thinking about it.
And what do you
think? I'm picturing it.
Uh-huh.
I see a hammer.
Uh-huh.
And Will Smith.
I see the camera
jokes.
The camera going around him multiple times during this hammer scene.
Yes.
And then there's a transformer that busts through the door. And some dinosaur eats the transformer. And then at the end it's all about aliens.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a bad idea. Anyways, moving on into trailers. We have a lot of trailers this week. First of all, the trailer came out for Kick-Ass. The official trailer for Kick-Ass came out.
I always wondered why nobody did it before me. I mean, all those comic books, movies, TV shows. You'd think the one eccentric loner would have made himself a costume. I mean, is everyday life really so exciting? Are schools and offices so thrilling that I'm the only one who ever fantasized about this? Come on, be honest with yourself. At some point in our lives, we all wanted to be a superhero. That's not me, by the way. That's some Armenian guy with a history of mental health problems.
Official.
Official. Official.
It's actually a teaser. Not
yes.
A trailer.
Exactly.
Same fucking thing.
No, it's not.
No, it actually is.
It's better than a trailer because it doesn't spoil the movie.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Can't argue with that logic.
This... I think looks kind of dumbish.
Did he see the same trailer?
I don't think he did, because he said the same thing to me when we were watching it, and I almost had to kill him.
I have to say that I'm happy that for once you've said the right thing this time. I always say one thing, and then you say, Andrew, you said the complete opposite, and you can't remember exactly what happened. You have me completely wrong, and I just have to give up the argument because you're going to keep telling me I'm wrong. But for once, I've said something, and you've agreed with me. In that I said it before.
Okay, thank you for that.
Thank you, Douglas.
Why are you wrong about the trailer is what you need to get.
The reason he's wrong about the trailer is that this trailer... Well, okay, the funny thing about this trailer is I'm going to totally contradict myself in about 5 minutes when we talk about a trailer we're going to talk about later. But this trailer...
Is Kick-Ass.
Is Kick-Ass. Right? It shows you exactly what this film is about. It's not going... Or at least I don't think it's going to be too deep or anything. It's just going to be, you know, action, fun stuff.
Ass-kickery.
You know, all that stuff. And I love it. And what I especially love about it, because at first, way before this trailer came out, I was kind of iffy about this movie because, well, the concept isn't... It's kind of weird. kind of generic, I'm just saying, like, it's probably going to be another movie. But then I found out who was directing, and it was Matthew Vaughn. The same guy that brought us Layer Cake, which is a fantastic movie, and Stardust,
there's people
which
who
is
don't like
amazing.
Layer Cake.
I know, and they are wrong.
What is wrong with
there are people who don't like Stardust.
They are wrong as well. But it's just, I think it's really odd and really special what this guy has done, in that he has so far brought two completely different visions, two completely different types of films to life, and done it impeccably, so that I'm almost willing to watch anything that he ever does, because even if it's something completely different, which I'd actually prefer, because I want to see what he does with all of these different things. And so now that he has again done something completely different with this Kick-Ass, this comic book movie, I really am extremely excited for it. And the trailer, the teaser, whichever one you'd like to call it, excites me because of that. Because I'm seeing this is something new, it has really cool action shots, and this is Matthew Vaughn.
So I agree with you about Matthew Vaughn. He is amazing, and he will make me watch this movie. I don't like this trailer, because...
You saw the trailer in general.
First of all, yes, I did see the trailer. I saw the leaked Comic-Con trailer, and that is fucking awesome. But this trailer, like, I think it's exactly what the trailer should be, because I have read the first 6 issues of the comic book, and I will watch this movie nonetheless, because I know what's coming, and it's going to be awesome. But just the look and the feel of the comic book, and how it looks in the trailer, especially when you see the people in the costumes, like Christopher Mintz-Plasse and whoever the hell is playing Kick-Ass and stuff. Like, it looks like I'm going to want to laugh more than I should. And I feel like it's just a completely different look to the comic book, and my expectations from book to film, like, we've spoken about this a little bit. Like, it just feels really odd in how it looks, especially Plasse. When you see the one shot of him in costume, it just looks a little too funny, a little too odd to work. Like, it's going to prey too much on that.
So let me get this straight. We're having this conversation again where you don't like something because of the book. So it has nothing to do with what you saw in the trailer. It has nothing to do with it. You don't like it because you read the book.
No, I'm saying I will watch it because of the
book. No, I'm talking about the trailer specifically. You don't like the trailer because it doesn't meet your expectations that you had from reading the book. That is what he's saying.
And he's nodding in consent.
Yes.
So we don't...
You ignore
it's a
me.
Movie. So you have to take certain liberties. They have to just hope that the movie is good. There's people who hate 300 for that same reason.
But 300 was the book.
No shit.
Page. I mean, unless you
Watchmen for the same reason. Like, no, I don't think
Watchmen was the book. Basically,
I don't think the voices weren't what I thought it would be, and the look wasn't what I thought. Like, what are you got?
And you say Watchmen would be the argument to kill me in the fact that it did look exactly like the book.
Right. And what I'm saying is, this is as close an approximation as they were going to get. And it still looks awesome. I don't know what you saw that I didn't see. I'm glad I haven't read the books. And after I see the movie, maybe I'll go and read the book. But
somehow I think this looks, is going to turn out to be Wanted all over
exactly.
again.
Exactly. That was the same problem with Wanted. You're like,
No. Wanted, but maybe that was his problem with Wanted. My problem with Wanted, it was just a bad movie.
You're a man
No, yeah, I'm going between.
I don't know if you know that,
no,
but they curve bullets in there.
I know. That's a big reason why it's an awful movie.
No. That's where you're getting it wrong. So that movie is awesome.
Have you gone to read the Wanted book yet?
No.
Please.
No. I want to hear it. People keep it, like, you sound like the Harry Potter fans. It's not the same. They shouldn't be like,
should just stay children.
What the movie that's in my head?
So I'm guessing you're ending this at you like the trailer.
No shit. The name of the movie is Kick-Ass. Nah, I'm an action junkie. What do you think?
Dedicated to Damian White.
That movie, A Ninja Assassin, would bring a smile to my face. All I need to do is change the name of the second movie. All I need to do.
Ninja Vanish. Anyways, the next trailer that
came
out.
That's not racist.
This is not racist. That's from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And that was the reason.
An extra teaser that we want to talk about is Clash of the Titans.
Really, we're really going down this.
One day, somebody's gonna have to make a stand. One day, somebody's gotta say enough.
Can I just get this over with and contradict myself immediately? I hated this trailer.
But I explain to you why. It's not your fault.
This trailer is it epitomizes what I hate about most modern action movies. All it has shown is I can make fancy computer-generated images.
Shit going down.
I know how to use strings to move my characters from one end of the set to another in breakneck speeds.
We know how to.
And I know.
Shit.
Yeah, you know, all it is action, 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 blah, blah, blah. Plus computers. And I'm just kind of like, where is the story? Where is something?
Clash of the Titans.
Yes.
Did you see the original?
No, I haven't seen the original.
Never seen it. Have you?
I'll watch that and tell me how the story goes. I'd be curious to find out what story there was in that movie. They're fighting gods, so. All I have to do is keep the action on point. Set. Story what? Come on, son.
Like, I have to tell you that I almost stabbed myself when I noticed Liam Neeson had a shot in the trailer. Like, we've all seen the images on the sites. It looks hilarious.
This trailer, I saw it twice, as I told you guys. I saw it once without the music and once with the music, based on a suggestion on Tom's site that I went to. And seeing it without the music does make a big difference. And it reminded me of the first time I saw the Watchmen trailer. Music makes a big, like, your choice of music when you're putting out a trailer makes a big difference. And people should be very mindful of the music that they're attaching to these trailers, because you can make or break the trailer.
I'm currently watching the trailer without music right now, in case anyone is curious. And this trailer still looks bad so far.
Yeah, it does. By the way, what were you saying, Damian?
So he's mesmerized.
I'm finished. That's
true. Oh, look, they have swords. Their swords are waving. No, they are falling now. Oh no, there's a scorpion.
You,
oh no.
You already have a bad impression of the trailer. Watching it without music at this point won't change that.
There are titans being crushed.
Ooh, look! They broke the words.
They are clashing into the wall and breaking.
Wow, you guys.
They broke again! Oh my goodness!
Yeah, we don't usually do that, but whatever.
What's the next trailer, sir?
Date Night, this new movie with Tina Fey and... what's his name?
Steve Carell.
Oh, you just put in your mouth guard. That usually means we're not gonna...
How lucky can one guy be?
We can still fool around.
Really?
Let me just get my head around it.
Honey, it's fine.
Let me just swim.
Yeah.
Pile driver!
Oh!
I love you!
My wife and I are on a date. We were hoping to get here earlier, actually get a table.
You didn't quite make it, did you?
We'll be standing over there.
Okay, I've already forgotten about you.
All right.
Triple horn? Party of two?
Maybe we should go someplace else.
I want tonight to be different.
Triple horn!
Us.
What are you doing?
We are the Triple Horns.
Great.
Excuse me, Mr. and Mrs. Triple Horn.
Get up. Now.
Honey?
Get up.
Now.
Did
you really think you could steal from Joe Mileto?
This is just a big misunderstanding. We are Phil and Claire Foster. Okay? God, no! He turned it sideways. Kill shot!
This trailer looks horrible. This movie looks horrible. It reminds me a lot of all of those movies from the 50s where man walks in, does something stupid, they mistake him for someone else, and he ends up in an adventure story. And in this one, you have Mark Wahlberg as well.
Yes. I'm so sad
about that. But he was in that awesome movie with Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, he was. I'm so sad about that.
When are you going to give up on that movie? No,
because Douglas is just...
What?
Like, he doesn't even flinch anymore. But doesn't bat an eye.
Listen, back to this trailer, right? Back to this trailer. It was so disappointing because when I heard you who was Tina in this Fey. Movie... I adore Tina Fey.
30 Rock is awesome.
30 Rock is amazing. Right? I also adore Steve Carell. The Office is fantastic. Most actually, I love a lot of his movies that he's in. Even the non-funny ones. Actually, especially the non-funny ones. Dan in Real Life is one of my favorite movies ever. But this movie... It started off okay, you know, it was like, oh, look, we're a funny couple, we're, you know, kind of disgusting.
Yeah, I was okay with that
and
part.
And then, all of a sudden, it went into, by the way, we're going to make this an action-adventure film. And that didn't work, not at all.
Baby mama, that's all I have to say about Tina Fey.
Oh, moving right along. I'm trying to forget that movie.
Good luck with that.
I don't know why people like it. People actually like that movie.
People like that movie?
Yes, they do. So many times people are like, listen, you have to watch this movie. Dude. This movie is so good.
Your brother is kind of those people.
Probably.
Doesn't like bullets.
I don't understand why. I saw that
he's
film.
He's one of and those kind
it,
of people.
See, this is the funny thing about that movie, right? If I watched it and I said, oh, it's okay, then I'd let him have his, you know, wrong
There's
opinion.
Nothing okay
There's
nothing okay about that movie.
There's nothing okay about that movie. That movie is awesome. That movie, every shot. Every
listen to me. You, something so wrong with your brother.
Andrew, if you want us to stop talking, go to the next trailer.
The next trailer and the last trailer for the week is this new one with Colin Firth, A Single Man.
Is that the longest trailer that we saw?
No. Did you see this one on Single Man? It's the one where he's like a killer.
Oh, yeah.
And it has no dialogue in it. It's just cut. You see gun. Yeah. This movie looks amazing. I really want to watch it.
No, I remember.
Okay. I have a story about this trailer, by the way. This trailer should have been on last week. I sent Andrew quite a few trailers last week. And I said, here, look at these. Andrew says, nah. I was like, oh, and I even after I sent him the email, I came upstairs and I said, look, all of these are lists of new movies that are coming out that have trailers. And he looks through some of them and then he clicks on one and I'm like, wait, what about this one down here, The Single Man? He kind of doesn't, you know, listen. No, 2 days ago, he comes to me and he says, Douglas, have you seen this trailer?
Just like the Ventura Banhart.
Just like the Ventura Banhart, just like Animal Collective. You just...
Ignore you.
Exactly. Anyway.
You don't listen to me when I say bullet is shit, so why should I listen to you?
No, I do
listen
to you.
No, because you're wrong.
No, the funny thing is, I do listen to him, and then I educate myself, and then I figure out that you're wrong.
I saw some trailer called Yellow.
Go and watch Buffy.
That chick from Twilight. What's her name?
Stuart.
Which movie?
Yellow Handkerchief. One of his favorite actors.
I saw that one come up and I didn't watch that
Who
one.
Who is my favorite actor? Come on, tell me.
The one that he says plays the same role.
Hugh Grant?
Hurt.
William Hurt.
Yes. He's playing. But he's actually not playing William Hurt in this. No, I'm not. He's
John Hurt?
William Hurt. And some terrible looking love story kind of thing. Mario Bello is in it and it looks bad. like really like generic in every sense of the word. I'm starting to hate. Like, I was giving Kirsten Stewart some leeway.
Yeah,
I don't
so
know
was
why,
I, but then I watched Adventureland.
She's been the same. She's been the same character in every single movie I've seen her in, and she doesn't do it well. I must say.
Yeah, but you know what though? She's still a teenager, or maybe she's not. Is but she? She's young. I think she's probably like 20.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. But either way, she could.
Maybe
she could take some classes and you know get better. You never know. But I would like to say something
maybe
about.
Twilight
would
be good for her.
Exactly. I would like to say something about the trailer we were talking about before, A Single Man. I agree with Andrew.
She's 19.
I agree with Andrew. I really like this trailer, but I don't agree with it because you know he's weird.
Andrew.
It says absolutely nothing about the movie. Nothing.
Yes, but
right?
A good trailer would get you hyped.
I know. It's gotten me hyped, but just because the transitions are pretty and they choose good stills, you know, to use from the film, because essentially that's what it is. This is a bunch of stills that actually don't tell you anything. But it's really good looking.
Yes.
And
I like trailers like that.
Yeah.
That can get me hyped without bombarding me with information.
Yeah, I still don't even know what happened. Do you know what happens in this film? Like, if even a basic storyline, like man,
does he kill people?
And I don't want to know. This is good enough.
Yeah.
Anyways, I guess that's that, and then we can move into what we've been waiting all night to talk about: The Butcher Boy.
I was only a lad when I became known on account of what I'd done.
Oh, you!
Known forever as the notorious Francie Brady.
Francie Brady, the Butcher Boy.
We're all gathered here to pray for the redemption of Francis Brady.
What's this world coming to?
And all those people like Mrs. Nugent, well, you knew they were no better than pigs.
Pigs!
Pigs!
No better than a pig! Disgusting! Fine!
In a blink of an eye, I was off on me travels. Away from Ma, God bless her heart. Away from Da.
He loved me tonight, son.
Don't worry, Francie.
I want you to tell me now the worst thing you ever done.
I did nothing bad.
Quick, around the back!
No boy is so bad that you can't find a scrap of goodness in him.
Right. And filmed by Neil Jordan. And I'm going to let Douglas start this off because
I have a 3-word review for this movie. Fuck this movie. This is Damien out.
And you approve this message.
And I approve this
message. Alright, so listen. This movie, as Andrew said, is a movie directed by Neil Jordan, who's done quite a few okay movies in his time.
Most recent one is the
Breakfast for Pluto.
Actually, I was thinking of the one with Jodie Foster, the Brave One.
Oh, the Brave One. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, he's done all sorts of stuff. Anyway, this movie is essentially it's the life story or the youth story of this child, Francie, played by Eamon Owens. I have a lot of problems with this film, just like you guys, but the reason I asked us to review this was, despite those problems, and I'll go through them, I thought that Eamon Owens, the child actor, the main lead, was his portrayal or his performance was just stellar, I thought, especially for his age. You guys didn't think that he was fantastic? I thought his acting was great.
You know, Douglas, I'd like to quote you for a moment. You said something earlier on in the podcast about Damien.
What did I say?
You said you realize that Damien is never indifferent. He always loves something unconditionally or hates something through and through.
And believe me, this one's way up. Like, I never realized why I hated Jamie Carragher until I watched this movie.
What? How does Jamie Carragher come into this?
I'll work my way through
this. Okay, alright.
I hate Jamie Carragher.
Okay.
And I've always hated him. But I didn't really know why. And now I understand.
Oh, and just for everyone out there who doesn't know what we're talking about, right. He's a footballer who plays for Liverpool.
He is English, supposedly.
Supposedly.
And he is incomprehensible. You cannot understand jack shit that comes out of this man's mouth. Every interview I've seen him in, he just mumbles through and you go, what in God's name is Jamie Carragher talking about? And I realize now what it is that I hate about him, and this movie proved it. Because this young man is basically a miniature version of Jamie Carragher for 2 hours straight. And it is the most annoying, hurtful thing I've been put through this entire year. I hate this movie more than Chun-Li. This movie is god awful. And then halfway through the movie, I mean, jumping the shark and nuking they nuke a lake. Okay? This movie is remarkably terrible. I couldn't believe what was unfolding before my eyes. It took me 7 hours to watch this movie because I had to stop, go do other things, find some reason for living again, and then go back and watch the end of the movie. And the end of the movie didn't help. This movie is unconditionally rocks. So bad.
Rocks. Defined to be
Jamaican word for hot.
Without skill.
Alright, listen. There were a few hiccups, man. Come on. Okay. So the movie, no. Alright, the movie was a bit long. It felt very long. It was, you know, drawn out. But also, certain things, like, for example, the voiceover. It relied heavily on this voiceover that I wasn't a big fan of. It's very hard for movies to pull voiceovers. Some movies do. Most movies don't.
This 500 Days of Summer did.
That is one aspect of that movie that wasn't really necessary. That the VO in that
movie, yeah, the VO in that movie wasn't great. It was okay, but you know. Anyway, back to this one. Also, I found it extremely odd when the character Francie actually interacted with the voiceover Francie, which was ridiculous. And you know, you're like talking to the voiceover, which is
the voiceover Francie turned out to be his father.
Question.
Yes.
He grew into
his... Yes. That's another thing that I was about to say.
And the guy, the older gentleman, whatever his name is, he's in another movie called Stuck.
He's in V for Vendetta as well.
Right. With,
No, the father is in V for Vendetta.
Right. Nino Suvari. Right. And that movie, I was okay with. I know now I'm glad that he was in that movie because I can see him tortured. That is how much I hate this movie. But I'm happy to see an actor that was in this movie be physically hurt in another movie.
Oh boy. But I guess a couple more things I didn't really like about this film. Some of the things didn't make sense. For example,
some of it.
His immediate. So Francie at one point gets sent off to a kind of like a juvenile detention center run by priests and stuff. And 5 seconds after he gets in, he's running the place and he has 4 goons, you know, and they're following him and, you know, asking him to teach them how to talk like Al Capone or all sorts of foolishness. So that made no sense to me. And there were a few other things that were in that vein that just didn't make much sense in context or out of context or anywhere, actually. And like Damian said, I really didn't like the fact that Damian put it as he grew up into his father. He's not lying, literally. When the movie comes back in the end about 10 or 20 years later, the person who plays Francie in the future is the person who played his father in the past, except with a red wig. So that was ridiculous, which is why I remember when I said to you something about, you were saying, I wonder who this voiceover is, and I said, if it's who I'm pretty sure it is, it's retarded. It's the father that has the voiceover the whole time.
But I made that connection immediately because I'd seen Stuck not too long before, so I knew the dude's voice, and I went, but it's that dude. And the whole time the movie was going on, I'm like, this is going to... If I mean, it is so mind-bendingly stupid, this movie. This movie is just bad. Like, there is really... Like, Douglas is saying that the child actor did a good job. And if what he did... If he's not that person in real life, then he did a phenomenal job. It's just that doing that in a abysmal movie doesn't help things in any way whatsoever. Right? There's the movie, the plot doesn't make sense. Right? The supporting cast is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. The mother, the mother is bad.
Dougal from Father Ted, isn't it?
Stop. All the friends, like the grown-ups in this movie, are some of the worst grown-ups I've. Like the ladies in the shop.
Uh-huh.
Where on earth do those people exist?
In this fantasy land, like of wherever, like, this is.
Absurdistan made more sense than this movie.
Oh yeah, Douglas made us watch Absurdistan, didn't he?
Absolutely.
You realize he's got Absurdistan. Last week was Near Dark.
Near Dark is awesome.
While I don't agree with Douglas with Near Dark being awesome, right? Near Dark is, I'd give that a middling score, right? That would be one that I'm indifferent about. Fair enough. But this movie is literally there's nothing redeeming about this movie. From start, there'll be at no point will you go, oh, there's something to take away from this movie. This movie is just bad all the way through. And they nuke a lake. People like, and it comes out of nowhere. First of all, there'll be no good reason to nuke a lake in any movie. And this one comes out of absolutely nowhere. There does.
What, Douglas, why? Douglas,
why?
Alright, for you guys.
No, I have to say,
hold on.
The amount of emotions that this guy goes through, the child actor, he is just fantastic. He's amazing in this film. He is.
But the film, Douglas.
It's not very good. But I just wanted to pay, like,
remember a couple of weeks ago, you saw some terrible movie and Andrew's like, oh, some awesome composer did the music in the movie. And you're like, I was too busy trying to figure out why I was sitting watching this movie to care about the music. That is how I feel about this is actually.
And apparently Neil Jordan likes him because he's also in Breakfast for Pluto.
What is Breakfast for Pluto?
That is the movie, I'm sure you've seen a piece of it, with Cillian Murphy.
Oh, is that the drug?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I have seen that movie.
Yeah.
I actually like that movie.
I haven't seen all of it. I've seen maybe half of it. I need to watch it.
Anyways, what's the name of this movie again? The Butcher Boy. Now, you guys have mentioned a lot about this child actor, and I won't bother to talk about his acting ability, but I want to talk about the character itself.
He's crazy.
I imagine this child being a child version of three characters being thrown into a blender. And these characters are, and these are all good characters, but this is like in a bad movie all these characters are in. Dexter, the dude from Clockwork Orange, and, crap, it's been so long, I've forgotten the third one already. Had this in my head from... You see, unfortunately, I left this until the last minute, and I was watching this right before. And unlike Damien, I couldn't pause the movie, walk away, hit somebody, and come back. Oh, shit, what was this?
Who cares? The movie's too bad for it. Listen, no one should ever watch this movie. Even, like, they should only show this movie to prison inmates. That's it. They should,
cruel and unusual, right, punishment.
Prison inmates should get to watch Chun-Li and all our Uwe Boll collection and this movie just on a loop forever. They shouldn't get to watch good movies. I hear that they're showing Shawshank Redemption in prison. What kind of message is that?
Wait, sorry. You're showing a movie where somebody gets out of prison? It explains how to get out of prison.
Yeah, but they didn't have proper guns back then. We do know.
This is like showing prisoners, thieves in the 50s, Rafifi.
Just show them Twilight. and all the garbage that no one should ever watch. And this should be on, like, they should just have this playing on a loop all day, every day. So this movie is painful, Douglas, and you know it. And you're trying to you're doing it again. It's the same thing with our service, Stan. But because you picked the movie, you try to like find things about the movie.
Absurdistan was, it was a funny concept, but it wasn't pulled off well.
It was a bad movie, though. Yes, you did it a while ago. You know, just come out and say, you know, these movies. Because when I pick bad movies, there you have no qualms about saying that they're bad movies.
No, this movie was not good.
You know what I'm thinking of right now? Since I just watched 30 Rock, there's this one episode where they talk about how Tina Fey, whenever she has to watch one of Jenny's shows, which are shit, she just finds one good thing and says that and then hugs her. You know, like, Jenny will come up and say, what you thought? She's like, the
lighting was fantastic.
Lighting was fantastic. What do you think? The portfolios were nice.
Right.
And all sorts of madness. That's what Douglas is doing right now. What I hated completely was, as you said, other than the movie, all the other people. There was, who was it, Miss Nugent?
Yeah.
Who was the stuck-up lady who made, like, I don't even know why the child was angry at the woman in the first place.
But no, because this guy is crazy.
Because you need a story to do
crazy.
That. And in 2 hours, we got none.
But, it made no sense to me that she did the things that she did. Like, she arranged certain things to be happen to the boy. And was that just didn't make any
Douglas,
sense?
Douglas, none of this movie makes any sense.
I guess there's not much we can say at this point. Well,
there's much we can say. We shouldn't say.
There are many four-letter words, but I think we'll just move on.
Look up all the synonyms for bad and atrocious and just apply. And in fact, I'm going to keep this movie. I'm going to go in and edit the rating because this movie somehow has a 7.0 rating. I'm going to change it to 0.5. So whenever I hit start by rating, the first movie that comes up is this movie. I'm going to change the name of the movie to Douglas's Pick.
First of all, I'd just like to have a little tear for the chat room. Jadon the Don says, I think if you wanted to torture me specifically, you'd put on Happy Go Lucky. And as much as I don't think that's the best movie ever, like, to call that a bad movie.
Enraha, that's all.
He's not just the first person I've heard to say that, though.
You told me about your friend who hated it completely.
Yeah.
Like, no, I love that movie.
No, I don't love that movie.
Wait, sorry. Did you not just 2 seconds ago say, I don't think it's the greatest movie? And then just like, say, I love that movie.
Okay. I see the problem there.
Oh, you do?
And I will use the example of Speed Racer.
Fuchsia Vomit? Oh,
Speed Racer, I have admitted, is not the greatest film in the world. And I don't know why people call it bad. However, I love that movie and you know I love that movie. And this is the same way with Happy Go Lucky. I love that movie because I love the character Poppy. Is it Poppy or Poppy? Polly?
Yes,
Poppy.
That's how much you love the movie. You can't even remember character names.
The Happy Chick. I only like the driving instructor.
And those scenes are awesome. And yeah, that's why I love the movie. But I do agree that it's not the greatest movie ever.
Like, the problem that this poses now is that I can't find a worse movie to torture Douglas by.
Like, this, I have set the bar.
There's just no way. I can't even think of a movie.
Just be the bigger man. Be the bigger man.
I'm going to have to buy default. There's literally no movie that I can think of.
So what you're saying is I'm better than you.
Yes, you are.
And on that,
freely admit.
And on that note, I think we'll end it. This was the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is a deflated day.
And I'd like to let you know, I still taste that hamburger.
That was Douglas. You can find the show at gmanreviews.com. We're on iTunes or the podcast alley and through the RSS feed at the site. We broadcast every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ustream. You can email us unnamed@gmanreviews.com. You can find me on Twitter at gmanreviews. Douglas is at DJR Lost His Name. Damien will say that you can't follow him.
Sheep. Oh, sheep. Sheeps. Sheep.
And that's it. Thanks for listening and good night.